Amen.
Yes. All right. What is the title of the message? And the title is Faith Works. We've already heard great testimony about that through the history of this church. And we are what we are by the grace of God, to be sure. But that's only because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And faith Amen. Works. Amen. So I want to call your attention to the book of James. We'll look at a few verses here and then share some examples of what this is really talking about. So often we think about faith, and we think we have faith, and we think we know what faith is. Let's see what James tells us. Even though James was not often understood to be a book about faith, it is in fact a book totally about faith, but about faith that makes a difference. So we're going to go to James chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 17. James chapter 2, 17. James says, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, because it is alone. Yes, a man may say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you your faith, my faith, by my works. You believe there's a God, and you do well. The devil also believes, and he trembles. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' Amen. You see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? Yes, she was." So let's look at it again. Verse 17. "Faith, if it has not works, is dead, because it is alone." Faith works. Faith works. That can be understood several different ways. Faith makes a difference. When we have faith, it makes a difference in our lives. When we have faith, we see things differently and we experience things differently. When we have faith. Amen. When the Bible talks about faith, it's not talking about the simple, ordinary kind of faith that caused you to get up this morning and put on your clothes and put a key in the ignition if you were the driver and start the car and drive up here. That's simple human faith that understands the practical way things work. And we learn how to trust in those things around us, and we rely upon them, and they are dependable. But that's human faith. But the faith that the Bible talks about is referring specifically to faith in God. God is the source of the Bible faith. Man is the source of our human faith. And the things of man are the source of our human faith. And so what James is talking about, he's not talking about that kind of faith that man can do, but he's talking about a kind of faith that is because of what God can do. So it's a different kind of faith. It's a God kind of faith. Amen. And that's the kind of faith that truly works. Human faith will take you so far, and then that's as far as it's going to go, because that's as far as you and I as humans can do. That's as much as we've got to offer. That's as much as this old world has to provide. And then that's the end of it. So it may be good in the moment, but it's not good enough to get you through a lifetime. It may be good to last temporary, short term, but not for the long term. And that's why we must have a faith that can truly work to go the distance. And God is the only one that can take us all the way. Not just all the way on planet Earth, but all the way throughout eternity. World without end. Amen. So God's going to bring us to a new place, a place of faith, a faith that works. But there's another side to faith works, and that is what James is referring to here, and that is when you truly have faith, it will be evident by the way you act, by how you conduct your life. You can say all along, I believe that that car will start, and I believe that engine will run, and I believe that that car can take me somewhere. But until you get in, insert the key, turn on the ignition, put it in gear, and drive down the road, that car's not taking you anywhere. Because what? You didn't exercise faith in the car. You didn't get in, turn the key, turn on, put the car in gear, and drive down the road. You didn't exercise the faith necessary. So you said you had faith, but all you had was intellectual understanding. You simply believed facts to be true. But there was no real faith exercise. You see, when James is talking about faith works, he's saying two sides here. Faith will get the job done, but it requires an act of faith on your part, basic steps of faith that will produce the results you desire. We keep sitting around saying, oh, God, do this, and oh, God, do that. And God may well have already shown us some very simple things about how it can happen. You know, God promises to supply your needs. We know that. We say that. We pray that. We pray that. But there's much more to prayer than just saying words. You see, it's the prayer of faith, James will tell us, that makes the difference. Yeah. So we can pray a lot of prayers, but if we only are saying words, we haven't really prayed the prayer of faith, and it's the faith that works. But we've got to pray a prayer of faith. So God provides. He supplies your needs. So I have that as a basic attitude in my heart. That's how we live 42 years of our life in ministry, almost 43. And we started out with a simple understanding. God spoke to us through Matthew 6 and 33, and he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek first God's kingdom, seek first his righteousness, and what will he do? He'll add all the things to you. And so, based on what God said, we began to do what? We sought him, we followed his leading, and God provided. Now, over the years, in different ways, God provides. But let me give you a simple one. So at one point, we had a financial need. It wasn't for a whole lot of money. It was close to $50. But there was no money. I went to church, and I preached, and there was no money. So I went home. Okay? Took off my suit. Went to put it up. Reached in the pocket. And what's this? There was a check for $50. And somebody had given that to me, and the date was about 6 months before. But there it was. Because you see, God had it there for when I had the need. Had I got it earlier, I might have spent it, but it might have not been for what God intended it. But God had it there, just right, just ready for me to reach in my pocket at just the time that I needed that other $50. You see, we keep looking for some natural way. Well, this person will give it to me. I'll get it at this offering, through my paycheck at work, whatever. Faith works by depending upon God, and he will enable us to do the work. But we just simply go forward in life. Like I was going forward, wasn't thinking about much, just took off my clothes, putting up my suit, put my hands in my pockets to make sure I had everything out, and there it was. You just got to be available to God with your eyes open and your ears open to him, attentive to his still small voice. Now, what I'm giving you here are examples of the outworking of our faith. These are called the steps of faith. These are called our action steps. See, if we look at the passage before us, he says, Abraham, what about Abraham? Well, Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham was the great founder of it all. He was the one who began this whole faith march. Now, there were others that came before him, to be sure, that were men of faith, but Abraham became the founder of a family of the faithful. And his seed was multiplied to many nations. And so the Lord leads James here to use Abraham as an illustration of what he means by faith works. So he says, now look, Abraham was our father. And what did Abraham do? Well, he was justified by works. That is, his works demonstrated that he was doing the right thing. His works demonstrated that he was truly trusting in the Lord. And what was it that he did? Well, there were a number of things he did over his lifetime, but toward the end of his lifetime, there came the real challenge. And the big challenge was that God had provided this son miraculously when Abraham was too old to have a child, when his wife was too old to bear a child, and there came forth this child of promise by a miracle of God. And now Abraham's so proud and so happy and so excited because this is the one through whom God has said all nations would be blessed. This is the one through whom God said would come forth many nations. And so Abraham's so excited. Now this is his son. He hoped for him. He prayed for him. He dreamed about him. Now he's got him and he loves him and they're going great together and everything's looking good. And then God says, it's time to see who you really trust. Are you trusting in this son or are you trusting in me? And so then he was called to take his son and go up to the mountain to offer a sacrifice. And what was the sacrifice? You see, the sacrifice has got to be that which you value the most. What's the most important thing in your life? And so, his son. Everything was in his son. His son represented all he is, all he was, and all he could ever be. And now God says, offer your only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And so there they go. And what happened? Well, he took his servants and they headed up toward the mountain. But when they got there, Abraham told the servants, he said, now, you stay here and I and the lad, that is me and my son, are going to go up to the mountain and we're going to offer sacrifice and we're going to worship. And then he says, we're going to come back. And he says, we're coming back. Because you see, he knew that some way, somehow, even though he would sacrifice his only son, that God had had a promise. And the promise was through the son. So somehow that son was going to be there. He didn't understand it, but he knew God. And he knew what God had said, and he believed God. And therefore, what happens? He gets up to the top there. He got up to the top there with his son. And Isaac says, well, Dad, I see you've got, we built the altar, and you've got the wood, and here we have the fire. But where's the sacrifice? My son. God will provide himself a sacrifice. God will provide. God will provide. And God did provide. And through that, all those steps of faith, from getting up in the morning, waking up his son, getting all dressed, getting the servants, getting the animals, getting the firewood, and going up to the top and building the altar. And he see, those are all his steps of faith. Because he's moving toward an objective. He has a goal in mind. And every step is vital toward the end result. Because every step is part of the actual end result in itself. Because every step matters. Every step in your life is important. Because one step leads to another. One thing will lead to another thing. And it's all a matter of putting the pieces together correctly. And Abraham followed through with God all the way until the time of the sacrifice. And then the Lord spoke. I see your heart. I've seen that you're a man of faith. You've followed me. You've trusted me all these years. And now even that which is most precious to you, you are willing to offer up as a sacrifice to me. You see, our tendency is to give God the crumbs, the leftovers. You know, if we don't need any more, we give it to God. See, if it's not something that's important to us, then we don't mind giving. Okay, you're going to give an offering? Oh, well, I'll give what I have left after I've already bought myself all the big screen TVs and all the other nice cars and stuff that I want. And then if I have anything left, I'll give a little bit in the offering plate. See, that's how our game is played. And that's how most of us function. Or we do that to charities. But we're always thinking of it not in giving God our best, but giving God what's left. And God says, present to me your bodies as living sacrifices, Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, present to me your bodies as living sacrifices. He's saying, give me your all, give me yourself, give me your best, and trust me with your life. And that's why when James uses the illustration of Abraham, he's saying, Abraham, in verse 23, look what it says about him. Abraham believed God. You see, we talk about faith, but Abraham believed God. He wasn't just saying, I have faith. He actually acted on his faith. He believed God. You know, I find it interesting that one of the early descriptions before we were called Christians in the Bible, we were called believers. And it said, and the believers were added to the church. And then later, Paul writing to Timothy, talks about being an example to the believers. Believers. Who are the believers? The ones who believe God. The ones who don't just say, I have faith, but who walk out their faith by having steps of faith that demonstrate they believe God. They believe God. You know, the Apostle Paul made a statement like this at a point of crisis in his life. He was on a ship. God had told him, this ship is going to sink. Acts 27, verse 25, Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Yeah, there's a storm. It looks like the ship is going to be destroyed. In fact, the matter is, he said, I'll just tell you right up front, the ship will be destroyed. We're going to lose everything. But be of good cheer, he said, because why? I believe God. See, that makes all the difference. You can be in the worst storm of your life, in the greatest crisis of your life, but if you believe God, it doesn't matter. None of that is important because you know God and you believe God. Not just, oh, I trust God. No, I'm just a person of faith. No, I'm acting on my faith because I believe God. And he says, I believe God. Therefore, it says, it should be even as it was told me. That is to say, we're all going to come out of this alive. The ship's going to be destroyed and we're going to land safely on dry land. That's how it was told him. So he says, I know the outcome because I've already heard from God. So I know the end from the beginning because God sees the end from the beginning and God's already told me how this thing's going down. He's told me how it's going to play out and this is how it's going to be. You can think what you want, you can say what you want, but I know God and I believe God. And because I'm a man of faith believing God and exercising faith in the living God, God is going to do what he said he would do. And faith is going to release God's presence and power on the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just because I hope so, think so, maybe so, but because I believe God. Because I'm exercising faith in God and I'm stepping out boldly in obedience to God. And that's faith that works. Faith works. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead because it's alone. That is, here's what we got to understand. Faith is always accompanied by works. And if it's not accompanied by works, it is not faith. Call it what you will. It's intellectual belief at best, but it is not biblical faith. Because biblical faith believes God and acts by stepping out in faith in accordance to what God has said, in obedience to God, and thus God is free to work in and through us. He will enable us to do those steps of faith, to be sure. That's why we talk about grace and we sing about grace. Grace is God's enabling, and yes, He will enable us, but we've got to step out. Faith believes God and says with God. So Abraham and Sarah, first thing they did was they called those things that were not as though they were, Romans 4. They said, this is what God said. Well, that's what Paul did. There he was on the ship. It looked like all hope was gone. It looked like they were all going to die. And he said, but I believe God. And this is how it's going to be. See, he called those things that were not as though they were. And guess what? That's how it happened. It happened as he called it. Because he called it as God showed it to him. And God did the work. And the end is, they arrived safely on land. Because faith works. Faith works. Some of you know that last time you were here, I think you prayed for me about a mission trip I was going to go on to Brazil. And I went to Brazil in the month of July. And that was my third time this year. And interesting thing happened about that. I was on the phone with a pastor talking a week before I left town. And I had the distinct impression while talking to him and not through anything he said, but as we were talking, the thought came into my mind, get one of your books in Spanish. Get one of your Ultimate Makeover books in Spanish. It's called El Cambio Definitivo in Spanish. And get one of those books and take it with you. Now, if you know about Brazil, they speak Portuguese. So the rational mind would say, well, that's a weird thought. Why would I take a book in Spanish to a country that speaks Portuguese. That doesn't make any sense. And so if we follow the logical mind, we'd say, well, that was just some crazy thought. Forget that. Don't waste my time doing that. I've got other work to do. I got to get things done. I got to get my stuff together. I got to get packed. Got to, you know, I'm going to get ready for a trip here. I don't have time to get some book in Spanish and put it in my luggage. My space is tight. If you see what I bring when I'm packed, I have just enough. I've got a spot for everything, and it's packed in there, and there's not extra room for anything. So to bring an extra book is just one more thing that's going to crowd me. But we have the mind of Christ, which is to say, God speaks through our thoughts, and because we're a new creation, we now trust our thoughts. And so I had that thought. Get a book in Spanish. Now see, God speaks softly, and that's why it's called a still, small voice. And those that are tuned to Him and listening to Him will hear His voice, and as His sheep, they'll know it's Him, and they'll therefore what? Obey Him. They'll follow His lead. So God speaks, we hear, we obey. Okay, we have a picture that I want to show you in just a moment, so I'm giving you a heads up there, Imani. We're about to show the picture, but not quite yet, but just be ready. Okay, so here's the deal. So I took the book. I went down there, was down there 2 weeks. Nobody showed up in Spanish, spoke Spanish, nothing, just on and on it goes. So I'm at the airport at a 13-hour layover. That's my longest, I think. And I'm just tired, and I found a quiet little corner of the airport. I'm just sitting there, and I'm trying to rest because I'd only got 3 hours sleep the night before. And so while I'm sitting there, in the last hour in the airport, I'm asleep, and I hear voices, and suddenly I'm surrounded by a group of ladies. They're quite tall and in uniform. And what is this? Now let's see the picture. You'll see the picture. These ladies were from Cuba. You know what language they speak in Cuba? Spanish. Español. They speak Spanish in Cuba. And suddenly they're all around me. And I perked up. Ah, I heard them talking. I say, habla español. Sí, they said. Yes, we do speak Spanish. I said, okay. Then they turned around. You can't see it, but on the back of their jackets they had on was the word Cuba. And they were the ladies basketball team for the country of Cuba. And they were there playing a basketball tournament with the Brazilian ladies who were the team for Brazil. And here they showed up. Right there where I'm at. And so I was able to take out my computer where I had a video of a friend of mine speaking in Spanish talking about the Lord. And I said, hey, let me show you something. So the one lady watched and I showed her the video and she said, oh, that's very good. It's so interesting. And I said, well, I've got something for you. And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out my book in Spanish. And I said, here, this is for you. Her friend grabbed it and said, no, I want the book. And they all wanted the book. They're arguing over who's going to get the book and read it first. What happened? Faith works. Let's go back. I hear a voice. I have a thought, an impression. It's the voice of God. It's the mind of Christ. And suddenly I have this sense, get a book and take it. So what did I do? I had that impression, and I simply did what I heard. I got the book, and I took it, not knowing why, where, or how, but just knowing that's what I'm supposed to do. And so that's all I did, and I took it. And then suddenly, at the right time, the people in Spanish were there. Now, you may know that in Cuba, they're very strict, and they don't have open access to the gospel. So it's not quite easy for them to get anything to read about the Lord. And here my book tells them not only how to receive Christ, but how to know Christ as their life, how to understand their identity as a new creation in Christ. And so what a joy to think that my privilege was simply to cooperate with God in a seemingly very simple thing. Get a book and take it with me so that at the right time I was able to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and then give them something they could take and read. And now in Cuba, my book is down there. And that book is being circulated, I know, because I know how people are. I've been around these countries, and they pass it on to other people. And so right now, that book is being read by people who perhaps have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ that we sit around here all the time, in churches, on the radio, in our books. We have tons of books. They don't have hardly any books about the Lord. And if they do, a lot of them don't have much substance or depth to them. So here's the deal. Faith works. We must cooperate with the Lord. Faith is just simply our cooperating with Him. So we have a sense of something from God, an impression about something. It's not just about what I'm going to get from Him. It's just about cooperating with Him. And I had an impression to take a book, and I took the book. And then I had an impression to tell these people about the Lord in Spanish, and I did. And then I gave them the book. That's faith working. I'm working through the steps of faith, and then I saw the end result of that faith because the Lord used it to minister to those people there that would have never had an opportunity otherwise. Because God will work when we choose to let Him work in us and through us. Okay, well, we're finished by that. You can turn that off. Thank you. So this is what it means when we talk about faith works. There are action steps that are necessary. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So when there are works that are compatible with our faith, when we have these works that are corresponding to our faith, then that's us believing God and exercising faith in what He told us. It's Noah building an ark. Why? Because God said, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. And you need a big, big boat. And Noah did this for 80 years. But in the end, what happened? There was a flood. And because he had built the boat, he was safe. He was safe in the boat. Because he did what God told him to do. See, we don't have to understand it, and it may not make sense. And nobody else might agree with it. I mean, a lot of people around there that back then, they thought he was the biggest idiot of all. And they laughed at him and considered him a fool, and they made fun of him. And he was the laughing stock for 80 years. And his kids, they must have been really ashamed and embarrassed, because everywhere they went, they said, there's your dad, that old kook, you know, the crazy guy. The guy that's building a boat, and we don't even have water around here. And look at the size of that thing. Well, there's not a body of water even close that boat could float in. And they just would laugh him off. So Abraham looked, Noah appeared to be a failure in the eyes of all these people. Because he was just doing this job that there was nobody to come in the boat. There was nothing happening. There was no rain. Nothing was going on. For 80 years, it looked like he is the biggest loser of all. And, you know, his family had to have their doubts, and they had to have their concerns, but they stuck it out, and together they went forward. And finally there came a day of reckoning, a time when God said, now, and the floods came. Noah believed God. He obeyed God. He cooperated with God, and his family got on board too. And so because they all worked together, they all got to go together and to be a part of God's greater plan. For a new beginning in a new world, in a new time, in a new place. This is the way of God. Faith works. It's a simple thing. You know, we trust God for everything in our life, our clothing, whatever. So, I had a friend give me a call many years ago, and he said, look, I've got a guy, he was a famous opera singer, and now he's come to the Lord, but he's still struggling. He's got baggage. He needs help. He's at home, he's discouraged, he's depressed, and can you come to his house? And so I was in the middle of other things, but you know, when God moves, it's time to get with the program. So we got up and we got going, and I went over to his house, I took a friend with me, and we began to talk about the Lord. And I ended up counseling for a couple of hours. And before it was over, he was on his face on the floor in his own home, crying out to God. And God set him free from satanic bondage. And God healed his mind of deep wounds of past experiences that tormented him, because Satan is a tormentor. And so he had been tormented by that stuff. But the Lord healed him in the art of receiving. The lost art of receiving. The revelation of Christ, that Christ Jesus is his Lord, his life, and he's one with him. And so suddenly he found that he was accepted in Christ. And now he's free to be himself. And so he rose up a new man, as it were, discovering his total change in Christ and transformed. And he went out and he began to give testimony to this. He went to this large conference because he's a very famous singer. And he invited me to go and my friend. And he put us up in a motel. And he said, I want you to be here with me and I want you to pray for me. And so he was singing and worshiping God. And thousands of people in this huge place, all these Christians, and then he gives testimony to how God had opened his eyes to show him what it means to truly be in union with Christ. And now he sees that he's been transformed and he's free. And now he said, I can truly worship God in spirit and in truth, whereas before I worshiped with my mouth, now I worship from my heart. And we went back to his room, and he said, you know, he says, this might sound crazy, but I want to do something for you. And he said, I've got these ties, and he pulled out all his ties, and he said, I just feel like I'm supposed to give you one of my ties. And so he said, pick one out. And so I like this particular one, and it at the time it seemed to be a good color for me. And you know, you see that. Okay, what kind is it?
Yeah,
now, so, you know, and I'm not in the know, so I didn't know a whole lot about that. But my friend said, you know, he says, you might know you'd pick out the most expensive tie I've got. And I said, hey, I just like the tie. I like the color, you know. And he said, doesn't matter. He said, any tie, and if that's the one you want, it's yours. And so here I'm blessed with this very nice, very elegant tie. I didn't go shopping for a tie. The tie came to me. I didn't have to spend my time driving around looking in stores to find just the right tie. There it was, just waiting for me. And it was a byproduct of just simply obeying God and trusting God and being faithful. And God began to work and blessed me with a tie. And then I told you the story one other time when I was here about the suit, so I won't bother you with that story. But you know, with a suit and a tie, you got to have shoes. And so one day my son said, Dad, you know, I bought this really nice suit and shoes, but he said, I don't really wear these shoes, and I've only worn them a few times, and I was thinking that maybe we wear the same size shoe. He said, try it on. So I tried them on. Now, these are Bostonian shoes. Never had a pair like that, but I understand they're very expensive shoes. And so here I got these nice shoes, nice tie, this suit. Man, I'm ready to go. God supplies. He provides. And we just simply, we're available and we cooperate and faith works. We never know when or how it's going to show up, but we just keep cooperating with the Lord. We just keep staying in the trenches, shoulder to the plow, not looking back, doing what He's called us to do, and believing that God is faithful. And we see it and say it, but do we really believe it? You know, when it comes to property and buildings, and here you're in a new location, and you've got a fresh start before you, and you've been here a while now, and now you're doing remodeling, and so things are about to take off for you, and a lot of things are required out of that. Well, I remember when I was asked to be one of the associate pastors at a church, and they were into some pretty hard times, and they had a small church, and a third of their people were seminary students and Bible school students, and they didn't have much income, and a third of them didn't have much income. Other third was the only ones that did, and they didn't have that much either, and everybody had already given all they could give. And we sat down, and I said, well, if you want me to take this position, we're going to have to take an entirely different approach to how we do the church budget and to these committees. And these committees are not going to just be groups that meet and sit around and talk. We're going to be people that get together and believe God. We're going to start praying and asking God what He wants. And then we're going to say, yes, God. And then by faith, we're going to step out and we're going to see God do what He wants to do here. Instead of us trying to just keep up an organization and kind of keep a business running, we're going to let God create a place for ministry where we can minister life to others. And so we looked at the various needs of the church. And I said, now the church is kind of run down and it needs various things. So let's pray and ask God to show us what needs to be done and then how we can cooperate with Him by faith to do it. So overall, across the board, we came to conclude that we were to increase the annual budget by one-third. And the monies weren't there to do that. In fact, some of the leaders got up and the financial guys and they said, well, you know, that's not even possible. We're barely making our budget now. And now you're going to increase it by a third. I said, well, yeah, and not only that, but there's some extra things we're going to do. We need to go on a mission trip. We haven't done one. And that's going to take $5,000, and that's not even going to be in the budget, but we're going to believe God for that. We're going to do this mission trip. And we need a new parking lot. And we're going to believe God for that. And so this is all extra. So not only is God going to do the other basic stuff, but he's going to do these other things. And they said, well, we don't see how that's not even possible. Well, it's not for man, but with God, what? All things are possible. So, and you don't see how it can be done? I don't either, but then I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. No, we don't see how it can be done. That's the whole point. It's a God thing. It's something only God can do. And so we're going along through the year, and the money's beginning to come in. How and where? Who knows? Only God. And then one day, somebody comes to the church, knock on the door. It's a construction person. And he says, I'm here to take care of the parking lot. And we said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm come to pave the parking lot, and I'm going to add another part over here that you don't even have. And we said, what is this? He said, well, hey, there's a guy up the road. He owns that property up here, and he had me come and pave all of his property. And he said, when you get through, you go down. He said, I've gone down to that church some, and I've visited there. And he said, they've got the worst parking lot. It's got potholes, and it's cracked. He said, you go down and pave their whole lot, and they need more space. They don't have enough, so just add some more on while you're at it, and I'll cover the bill. You know what? We got the parking lot. We went on a mission trip. I drove the bus. That's what happened. And then add to that something we didn't even have on the list, but we needed long term. We needed lights, new light fixtures. So one day a man comes in. He's the light salesman. And he met with me and he says, well, what do you need by way of lights? And I said, well, this and that. But I realized God was dealing with him. And the Lord said, take time with this man and don't let him leave here until you talk to him. So I began to talk to him and ask him questions. And pretty soon he's pouring out his heart. And next thing you know, he's broken before the Lord, and we're on our knees together in my office, and he's crying out to God, Lord, I surrender all. I just give it up to you. I've been trying to hang on to my life and fix my problems and meet my needs, and only you can do it, and I give up. I can't do it anymore. Lord, you take over. Lord Jesus, fill me with your spirit and live your life through me. So, that was a great day, and we rejoiced. And then a month later, he came back, and he said, I'm here. And I'm here to survey because we're going to be putting in new lights in the church. I said, well, who ordered the new lights? And he said, well, the Lord did because I'm the one that's going to put them in. And I'm the one that's going to pay for it. He said, I'll tell you something else. He said, this is how what I know. He said, you know when a God's got a man's heart, when he's got his pocketbook, and he's got mine, and I'm paying for the lights, so you'll have all new lights throughout the whole church. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith works. I'm not talking about small-time stuff here. I'm talking about a great and mighty God who does great and mighty things. Faith works.
Amen.
Big things, little things. See? Little things, I needed $50 to pay a bill. Wanted a nice tie? Got a nice tie. This is not about some get-rich-quick scheme. It's just about honoring God. And it's not about what you have or don't have. None of that even matters. These are the surface stuff. This is the things that God does to encourage us to really trust him for the big things. To trust him for the important things. My watch, which I was blessed to get, the Lord showed me a way to get it at a very good deal. But I had it on a trip and something fell in the night and when I bumped it and it fell off and it broke the crystal on my watch. It was going to cost $25. And I thought, well, you know, I got this watch at a good deal and that's a lot of money, and I didn't fix it. And finally, one day, the thought came to me, well, you need to go down and take it to that store and get that thing fixed. So I said, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. So I told Lou, I said, you know, I'm going to go to get an estimate. And so he said, $25. So I said, well, all right, I'll do it, $25. Well, ended up, I got talking to the guy that worked there. Even the actual owner, the watch repairman, he never came out. But his relative was out there. And the relative is Vietnamese. And so he's standing there talking to me. I start talking to him. We have a good conversation. The Lord comes up naturally because that's just the way it works. And so then so he starts up a little interest in this, and I gave him my card, and I said, now here's my card, so look me up and find out some more about what we got and read some of these things. So anyway, I came back in to get my watch, and he was there again. So we start talking. Well, did you look up my information? Well, no, but I said, well, that's okay. I got something even better for you. And I said, I've got one of my books, and I said, I'll tell you about that. And then I talked to him, and he said, well, I might even want to get the big book. So I said, well, I'll show you both of them. So I showed him anyway. I gave him my little book. And so we got to talk about the Lord at length this time. And I walked out, and this is what I told Lou. I said, you know, I was kind of disappointed that my watch got broke because I like this watch, but I don't like the idea of having to spend money on stuff that when I can be putting my money into something that counts. But I said, now I got it. It was worth $25 for my watch to break so I could tell this guy about the Lord and give him one of my books. Because now I've sowed some good seed and some good soil. You know, I just found out since I talked to the guy, he went to church. He went to a church on that Sunday. So I said, now this guy's seeking. He wants to know more about the Lord. So now I made an investment. See, it's about finding ways to make an investment for eternity, not just so you can fill your pockets with a little extra spending money or so you can have a couple of nice things for creature comforts. That's a bonus. That's extra. And mostly it's to teach you how to trust God for eternal things, to trust God for people's spiritual well-being. Amen. Faith works. It makes a difference. I got a call many years ago from my dad. He said, your grandfather's had a stroke. The doctors have said he's not expected to live. If any of us want to see him alive, we better get up there now. And he lived about 6 hours from where I was. I was in the middle of seminary classes, and Lou and I both worked part-time. And I had this impression, no, he's not going to die. You see, I'd been praying for my grandfather's salvation. And as best I knew it, he had never yet received the Lord. And I heard what they said the doctors were reporting, but I also had a sense in my spirit, he's not going to die because he hasn't met the Lord yet. So I told my dad, I said, well, you know, I'm not going to come now. And he said, well, it might be your last chance. I said, well, I just feel like he's not going to die. And he said, well, the doctor said, and I said, okay. So anyway, he didn't die. He didn't die. So they said, well, he's made a recovery. And my dad said, you know, he even wanted to watch the Christian programming. He never does that. And then I asked him if he wanted me to pray with him at the end after the service was over on the program. And he said, yeah. So he said, we had prayer together, and he never does that. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit has done a work in him while he was unconscious during this time of his stroke. And now suddenly he's spiritually minded. He's open to the things of God. And he's now realizes his need of the Lord. So we waited on God, and about 6 weeks went by. And then there came a day, and the Lord said, I want you to go see your grandfather this weekend. I said, Lord, this weekend? I said, this is the weekend that I have to study for my hardest exam that I've had this whole time in seminary. And it's on Monday. I mean Tuesday. The Lord said, this is the weekend. What's more important to you? Your school, your grade, your degree, or your grandfather? He's there. He needs the Lord. Now's the time for him. You go. So Lou and I got in the car, and off we went. Went up there, began to talk to him. You know what? He was ready. He was ready. Began to talk to him about the Lord, what it means to be a sinner, Christ's death on the cross for our sins. Yeah. He needed forgiveness. He wanted forgiveness. He received God's forgiveness, accepted Christ's death on the cross for his sins, invited Christ to come into his life to make him a new man. And here he was in latter years, and now he's received the Lord. Faith works. We cooperate with God. We went and did as God told us to do. First, don't go. Then go. Ended up, I did pretty good on the grade at school. Better than that. There was a guy down the hall. I went down the hall to check and maybe go to the restroom, and I heard this man and say something in this room, and I looked in, and the Holy Spirit said, go in there. And turned out this guy, his kids couldn't be there close to him. They were afraid he might have an accident. He was a farmer. They didn't want him getting hurt out there by himself on the farm, so they just stuck him in the nursing home. He's in perfectly good health and sane mind and all. And so I went and I led him to the Lord. So here, two people received Christ. Faith works. Amen. Eternity is changed when we cooperate with the Lord and step out in faithful obedience to Him. And where are your action steps? If you're believing God, what are you believing God for? If you're believing God, how are you demonstrating your faith in God? In what ways are you cooperating with God and taking action steps? If you don't know how, ask Him, Lord, okay, I have this need, there's this concern, there's this problem, somebody over here doesn't know Christ, what would you have me to do? I love how the mother of our Lord Jesus, there in Canaan, they're at a wedding, and they ran out of the festive wine, and so the mother of Jesus, Mary, looked at the servants and said, you know, just do whatever he tells you to do. Well, who is he? You just do what he tells you. They didn't know who Jesus was. He's just another kid around there. I mean, just some young guy. So, what the heck? What is this guy? But they did what he told them to do. And our privilege is simply to do whatever he tells us. Just ask him if you don't know. Ask him, he'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll do it. Your privilege is to cooperate. Faithful obedience. Faith works. Let's let Him work in you, in me, today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You. We are here today by the grace of God, Lord. Surely You put us here, regardless of what we think about where we got here, how we got here, or whether or not we like all the facts of our past. It doesn't really matter. What matters is we're here today by the grace of God. We are what we are by the grace of God, and Lord, we can become more than we ever thought or hoped we could possibly be by the grace of God. And Lord, together, we can move forward. Lord, Your word is clear. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. So, Lord, we take a fresh look at things. We're not going to look at the smallness of our size or numbers, but we're going to look at the greatness of our God. And we're going to keep looking to You, Lord Jesus, because You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And You have spoken, and You say, "Do not fear, little flock, for it's Your Father's good pleasure to give You the kingdom." And so, Lord, we're simply here to receive, just like we sang in the song. We're receiving all that You are, all that You want to do and be in and through us. We just receive. And whatever You say, we say yes in advance. We're willing to do whatever You tell us to do. We're willing to go wherever You tell us to go. Lord, we are willing and we're available because we're committed to cooperate with You. We're here to trust and obey. We're not just here to talk about the fact we have faith. We're here to exercise faith and be true believers, those that walk by faith and not by sight. And thank You, Lord, for how You have blessed this congregation and these people and the ways that You've supplied their needs over the years and how You have done Your good and perfect works through them and just gotten a glimpse of it by way of testimony from the pastor. But we give You praise that, Lord, that is but a foreshadowing. It's but the tip of the iceberg of what You have in store and what You're going to do. And our privilege is just to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I love you and God bless you. God bless you.